And Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks to us, that it opens up our hearts, that it touches areas in our lives that need that touch of God. And Father, we just pray, may our hearts be touched afresh by your presence and by your word. Lord, we pray that as we read your word today, Father, as we read passages from the scriptures, we pray, Holy Spirit, come and open up our eyes, open up our minds, open up our understanding to really grasp what it is that you're saying through this. And so we ask that you continue to lead us in all these things. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Our thought, if you want, for the next few weeks is beliefs and behaviors. That's this sort of overarching title of what we want to talk about over the next few weeks. And you should have received one of these when you came in. It actually says beliefs and behaviors at the top. And it will outline the sermons, the messages that I'm going to share over the next few weeks. And it also has a series of readings. I get into the book of Ephesians over 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. Because if you look at the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, in essence, are about what we believe. The first three chapters are theological, but the last three chapters are actually putting our faith into practice. So that's where we're going to be going over the next few weeks. Today I'm going to talk about life, God, the universe, and all that stuff. So, Gracie, you said our services can be quite short. Mm-hmm. Like, I could talk for this on this subject for a long time. We're going to look at the image of God. We're going to look at the vandalized image. We're going to look at have you heard. We're going to think about what we say, what we listen to in church, the supremacy of love, and lastly, fighting to forgive. If you've read Ephesians, you'll know at the end, it talks about spiritual armor. It talks about prayer as a weapon as well. Well, what are we fighting against and what are we fighting for? And I really believe that the church should be a place of forgiveness. I don't know about you. When you mess up, do you like to be forgiven? Okay, just settle on that one. Because when I mess up, I like to be forgiven. I like to be honest when I mess up as well. Okay, so I remember the days in Mitsubishi where you couldn't hide. Like, it was my fault, and you had to stick your hand up and say, it was me, okay? And you had to explain why it happened, what you were going to do to fix it to make sure it didn't happen again in front of all the big bosses. So when you do that, you like it when somebody says, it's okay, we get it, things happen. But today, we're going to think about life, God, the universe, and all that stuff. So just get yourself comfortable while I have a wee drink again. The cough is easing, thankfully. Why are we talking about these things? I think the reason is that our behaviours, the things that we say and do, are firmly rooted in what we believe, what we actually believe. So we can say we believe something, but the reason or the moment we actually realize we do believe that is when what we say and what we do reflects what we believe. So it's easy to say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe that he died to forgive us for our sins. I believe that he shows us how to live. You know, you read in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, you read the Sermon on the Mount, you begin to see what Jesus' expectation is for us in terms of our behavior. The problem is it's hard to do it. Do you find it hard to put your faith into practice? Okay. I'm feeling a bit underwhelmed by the response today, okay? Maybe it's just me. I maybe need a wee bit more encouragement coming from the church today. So if I ask a question, please answer enthusiastically, okay? So, yeah, I can't even remember what I asked now, but let's just be enthusiastic. God created human beings. He created everything. I was out in the creation this morning. He created me. He created you. And that creation, God's creation, has been messed up, has been vandalized by sin. But Jesus came to restore that. He came to die for sin. He came to pay the price for sin. God came in the presence of a person. His name was Jesus. He lived 2,000 years ago physically. He lives still in a resurrected body in heaven. And he came in order that we could be forgiven, that we could begin to live out the best life that God has for us. And I want to emphasize over the next few weeks some of the behaviors that we should adopt as Christians, if we truly believe in who Jesus is, things that we should adopt. Do you know, these behaviors have everything to do with how we interact with each other. How we are on our own, in our secret place, in our private place, but also how we are in the public sphere as well, in the public domain, how we interact. Everything to do with other people. I wonder if your behaviors today are based on an understanding of who God is, who God really is, and we're beginning to get to know God. I'm now 55 years old, and I feel like I'm just beginning. Can I just be totally honest? I feel like I'm just getting started in terms of trying to understand who God is and how he works. I'm just getting started, having been studying this my whole life. In Ephesians, this book that we're looking at, if you take the time to read through, and there's a little thought for reflection as you read through those different parts of Ephesians, our beliefs are based, or our behaviors are based on our beliefs. So let's think about this subject today, life, God, the universe, and all that stuff. And the Bible opens with these words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." A view that's challenged these days by people who don't believe in creation, who don't believe in God, who think that all that matters is matter. And that's not the only thing that matters, okay? In fact, it's maybe the thing that matters least sometimes when you think about it. Because we live in a spiritual world, we live in a spiritual domain, and it says that God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. Everything that we see, everything that surrounds us, God has created. God, who is uncreated, because people say, well, if God created the universe, who created God? Well, the Bible tells us from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. When he said to Moses, and Moses asked him, "Who will I say sent me?" He says, "I am." Came across an interesting verse in the New Testament this week where Jesus says, "I am he." When he's asked, that, when he's confronted in the garden of Gethsemane by Judas and the soldiers and all who were there to arrest him, he says, "I am he." Well, if you look at the word, actually what he's saying is, "I am." He says it three times in that passage. It's incredible. Jesus knew who he was, the eternal, self-existent God. Jesus had always existed. He wasn't just born at Christmas time. And this confuses the kids. How can Jesus be born at Christmas time and die at Easter? It's like, that's only 4 months, sometimes less. Somebody needs to get that sorted out so that Easter's the same time every year, okay? That would be really helpful. Anyway, that's another story. God, who is uncreated, God, who is eternal, God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful and all-present, who knows the very whispers of the thoughts in your mind. See those things that you think and you say to yourself, "I'm glad nobody else knows what I'm thinking right now." Have you ever done that? "I'm glad nobody knows what I'm thinking right now." God knows what you're thinking. God knows every aspect of your being. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He even knows our secrets. Wow. That's a bit scary, isn't it? God knows everything about us, even the things that we try to deny. And it says that this God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, created everything that we see. He created three domains: heaven, earth, and sea. Heaven, earth, and sea. Three domains that God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he begins to make that earth and form that earth out of the chaos and out of the formlessness, he begins to separate land from the water, and then the land appears and we have something new now. It's called sea. So three domains that God created. And then he began to populate those domains. Sorry, I went back one. Here we go. I went forward a slide too early there. Three domains, he filled them with birds. So the sky he fills with birds. The land he fills with land creatures, particularly us, human beings. Aren't you glad to be here? Aren't you glad to be created? Have you ever wondered what it was like if you'd never existed? Or is that just me that has those thoughts? It's like, what would it have been like if I was never in the world? That'd be quite strange. Anyway. And he filled the sea with sea creatures as well. And as we begin to read Genesis 1, we see that God not only created these three domains, he populated these three domains with creatures. And in the middle of all that, he placed a garden and he called it Eden. The place where God walked with man, where God actually came, that God, the Spirit, came and fellowshipped with people. He walked with people in the garden. And it's the place where the drama that we'll talk about in the next few weeks will begin to unfold. A drama that, when played out, will affect the whole of God's creation. And that's the first verse in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you jump to the last verse, it says, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Everything was good. So we look at creation now, and if you're up early in the morning, you see that sunrise, you go, wow, this is amazing. But then when you stop to think about it, you think, wow, we're making a mess of our planet, aren't we? Because we abuse the resources in our planet for gain, for greed. We abuse each other. There's wars. And if you look at what's happening in the world just now, I don't know about you, sometimes I look at what's happening and it makes me just feel like, why do I even want to be here? The place is a mess. And yet God calls us, as the people of God who believe in him, to be salt and light in the world. We're here for a reason. We're here to make the place better. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. It was very good. And I don't know about you, you look at that picture there of the sun, and I don't know if you're aware of this term, the crepuscular rays, the rays that are coming up from the sun through the clouds. It's when the rays come up. You sometimes see the sun shining down through the clouds, don't you? Well, when the sun shines up from the clouds, it's called crepuscular rays. Let's zoom in on the sun. You see the rays. Let's zoom in even further, and you think, wow. This is the sun that I saw come up this morning. It's absolutely phenomenal. God's creation is phenomenal. I don't know if you've seen that program, Scotland, the New Wild. I look at that and I think, we live in an amazing country. We live in a beautiful country. And I just look at what people are doing to restore order into God's creation after us abusing it by our greed and our mistreatment of the creation. And I watch, I see people getting involved in making it better. And I think, do you know what? I want to volunteer my time for some of that. I want to be part of that. God's creation is magnificent. You're part of God's creation. And you are magnificent. Has anybody ever told you that? I'm just having a wee look around at everybody today. You are magnificent. Do you believe that about yourself? You are magnificent. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. Let's use our time to make a difference. God created it. God saw that it was all good. And I want to ask this question. If we believe and a God who created everything that we can see and it was good and it's amazing and he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and we can trust him, do we actually trust God? Day by day, moment by moment, do we trust him? Or do we get concerned about the future? Do we worry about tomorrow? Do we worry about the things that we can't control? Or do we trust him? Belief is a noun. Believing is a verb. But belief and faith are nouns. Trust is a verb. Trust is something that you do. And it's something that we need to do when the storms are surrounding us, when we feel like we're all at sea, when we feel like that person who's out in that boat millions of miles from anywhere, okay, maybe not millions, but maybe hundreds or thousands, okay? Do we trust in God? Do we really believe that God is all-powerful? Do we really believe that God knows us and knows our circumstances? If we say yes to that, then why sometimes do we behave in a way that doesn't demonstrate trust in God? I do it, and you do it. We all do it. We all lack trust. We all lack that faith in God sometimes. This amazing God who made everything that we see, who designed it all to work together and for it to flow. He doesn't need to keep tweaking things every day. He just designed it to work and to flow. Amazing. Trust is actually actively following Jesus day by day, day by day. Are you actually actively following Jesus day by day? Are you still with me? Good. Glad to hear it. And I just wonder sometimes, I wonder sometimes if our behaviours actually reflect, well, I think our behaviours do reflect what we believe. Sometimes we don't behave the way that Jesus tells us to, but I think it's because we don't actually believe. We don't believe in Jesus in that situation or in that particular situation. We can lose our way so easily. Or is it just me? I think we can lose our way. But I want to suggest today that our behaviours are actually birthed in what we believe. What we believe at the core of who we are. That's what we say we believe, and then that's what we actually believe, which is what we see in our words and our behaviours, particularly when we're under pressure and when the heat's on. It's what we say. Our beliefs, what we actually believe at the core of our being, will affect how we behave day in and day out. And to what extent are your core beliefs shaped by the revelation of God and His Word? People read the Bible all the time. People who are not Christians read the Bible. People of other faiths read the Bible. And like any other book, we can read the Bible. Robert, just help somebody, they're trying to come in. Can you come? We can read the Bible intellectually, and we can understand the words and what it's saying. We can understand the historical context. We can understand all sorts of things, but remain unchanged by it. It's not about reading the Bible in an intellectual manner, although God has given us the faculty to read and to reason and to understand. He's given us the ability to write and to read. And we have stories handed down to us from poems and songs from thousands of years ago that we read today, and God speaks to us through it. I want to suggest that there's a deeper level that goes beyond the intellectual, and it's the Holy Spirit taking what is written down. The Holy Spirit inspired people to write, and it doesn't mean that they were sitting there with their pens and going, okay, go. Like some machine just writing out. Have you ever seen that film Hugo with the automaton? If you've never seen it, it's about a wee guy who discovers this machine which he gets working, and he discovers that the machine can actually, it's programmed to write and to draw, right? I think sometimes people think that that's how the Bible came about. People just sat with their eyes shut and waited and the Holy Spirit moving their pen. It's not how it works. God spoke to people. God moved. And those stories have been handed down through generations. They've been recorded. They've been collated in this book. But as the Holy Spirit inspired people to write, so He inspires us as we read it, and something comes alive inside of us. It's not just an intellectual thing, although God does use our intellect, but it drops down into our heart, into our spirits, and we begin to understand who God is. And there are three things that I want to just touch on briefly, and I know that time is marching on. Three different areas that we see in God when He created the universe and everything that's in it and us, and three different things that impact us because we are created in the image of God. The first is this, and it's thoughts. I wonder, what was God's intention when He created the universe? What was God's intention? What was in God's mind when He created everything, the heavens and the earth, and began to populate the sky, to populate the sea, and to populate the land? When He began to make human beings, when God breathed into the man and he became a living soul, what was God thinking? What was His intention? Genesis doesn't actually tell us. At least I don't think it does. But as we begin to read the Bible, we get an insight into why God created people to start with. We realize that God has made everything beautiful, but we realize that something went wrong with that as well. What were God's intentions? Listen to what Psalm 92, verse 5 says. How great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep. Your thoughts are very deep. Who can begin to understand God's intentions? Can we begin to understand his intention for us? And then in Romans, we read these words. I think it's Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, if you're taking notes. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of our Lord? Or who has been his counselor? And he quotes Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? We sometimes think we're doing well. And we think God owes us sometimes. It's like, get a grip. I don't think so. God who created everything that we see. Have you ever had a moment when you realize how small you are? And I don't just mean those of us who are short, okay? When you're out in the midst of it all and you go, man, I don't actually feel like I amount to very much. I'm so small in the grand scheme of things. The Bible says 70 years, if you do well, you get 80, maybe 90, maybe 100. Some people even more than that. Josh was telling me about a wee lady who was skydiving at 104. Wow, I want to be like that, except without the skydiving. What have we done that God should repay us, that we should have anything from God? Nothing. Verse 36 says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God is beyond our tiny little peanut brains. We think we're intelligent. And God has given us the ability to reason and think, which is why we even ask the question to start with, why are we here? The animals never ask, why are we here? Not unless I heard the sheep say that the other day at the back. Maybe that's what one of the bleating was. It's like, why am I here? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Who can understand the thoughts and intentions of God? Who can begin to grasp the mind of God? And then God spoke and God said, let there be light. God went from intention to action. He spoke and creation began to come into being. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 implies that in some point in the dim and distant past, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, it was empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But the wind of God, the Spirit of God, the Ruach, was hovering over the waters. Something was about to happen. It was like the creation was pregnant. And it was just waiting for a moment where God would say, and let there be light, and things began to happen. God said, God spoke. And then the third thing that we see here is that God created the deeds, the things that we do, the things that God did. And if you read through Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that God said, God saw, God called, God made, God created, and God blessed. God did things. He didn't just speak things. God did things. And trees and plants came from the ground. God said, let the land produce. God created the great sea creatures, massive sea creatures, things that we can't even begin to imagine. You look at what happens around the seas in Scotland, around our shores, and you see these big, massive basking sharks coming in the summer, and you see dolphins jumping about and doing all their playful things. You know, it's just incredible. We live in an incredible world because God made everything and he made it good, and he populated the seas. And the animals were made from the ground. Let the land produce living creatures. Have you ever noticed that before? Let the land produce living creatures. He didn't just wave a wee magic wand and say, oh, I'm not going to go that way again. Use a magic word of your choice. Brian, you've got plenty. Give us a magic word. Abracadabra. There you go. So God didn't say abracadabra and all appeared. God made things out of the ground. And I think it's interesting. I think it's, you know, people say, oh, we share such and such percent of the DNA of a banana and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, do you know what? The bananas came from the ground. Bananas are good for you. Anyway, that's another story. Sorry. The animals that God created came from the ground. The trees that God created came from the ground. And where did the people come from? God fashioned the man out of the dust of the ground. Why wouldn't we share DNA? My goodness. When you begin to look at Genesis, it's incredible. The wisdom of God to create all these things, to do what he's done. And all three domains were populated. It's not until we get to Genesis 2 that we see more about the human beings. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. All of the things that we see God has created, we, though, are created in the image of God. Of all the things that he created human beings in the image of God. Male and female, he created them in his image. And we collectively reflect the image of God, or we should. And when I say reflect the image of God, our behaviors should reflect God. Wow. There's something to think about. And we too have thoughts. We too have intentions. We too use words, and we can use our words in all sorts of ways. And we too do things, and we can do things that are helpful, and we can do things that are destructive. We all say and do and think, just like God thought, spoke, and did. And then we come to the letter of the Ephesians, and it's 12:5, and I'm only getting to the letter of Ephesians. Wow. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. God's intention, God's thought, is that now, through the church, his manifold wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God, should be made known to the angels in heaven. That's incredible. I can just imagine the angels as they're looking at the church and they're looking at us and they're going, and then they're looking at God with a puzzled look in their face, and then they're looking back at us and they're going, What? These guys, the manifold wisdom of God, made known through you and I. Not so much of what we do, but what he has done for us and given us Jesus. That the grace of God should be extended to me is an absolute mystery. I have done nothing to deserve the grace of God. Nothing in my life to deserve the grace of God. It's incredible. And yet God, nonetheless, sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for my sin so that I could have eternal life, to not endure the wrath of God. I have done nothing to deserve that. And nothing I do could ever win God's favor. And yet God gives that favor. He gives that favor to you and I. You know, the church, contrary to secular opinion, is not full of people who think they're better than everyone else. You ever heard that? Bunch of goody two-shoes. See the guys that go to that Pentecostal? think they're better than everybody. Can I just say to those who are online who might not be part of our church and might think that's what we're like, I can tell you for 100% sure, that's not what I think about myself. I do not think goody two-shoes, I'm perfect. I think I am a sinner, saved by grace, now a saint, because of what Jesus has done for me. I don't think I'm better than anybody. And I don't think anybody's better than me, if I can put it that way as well. Saved by grace. And Paul talks about the Ephesian church. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints at Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. The word he uses, hagios, the Greek word hagios, it means holy, to the people who are holy. The saints, not people who have died and lived a good life and however many years later we now call them saint. Our country patron saint is Saint Andrew. Well, I'm looking at saints today. Saint Stuart. Saint Alex. It's a ring about it, doesn't it? Saint Mary. That has a ring. I better watch my P's and Q's now. He has made us saints. Once we were sinners, now we're saints in Christ through what he has done for us. It's an amazing thing. And if you're a Christian, actively following Jesus, you're not just somebody who believes and then does something different, but actively following Jesus, you are part of his plan, part of God's plan. Listen to what the message says. Through Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even amongst the angels. God's extraordinary plan. When we go back to creation, and we'll think about that in a couple of weeks' time, how the image of God was vandalized, and we think about that, we realize that actually God all along had a master plan which he was working out, and we'll share a little bit about that master plan. I encourage you, if you're a Christian today, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be challenged by the thought, are my behaviors reflecting a belief in this God who we're talking about this morning? Do our behaviors reflect that God? You see, each of us has our own motivation, our own intentions. Each of us have a morality, if you like, a moral compass that tells us that this is the right thing to do and that's not the right thing to do. And I remember growing up as a young lad where it was all about, well, you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that and you're not allowed to say that word and you're not allowed to go here and you're not allowed to and you're not allowed to and you're not allowed to and you're not allowed to. And that's what I grew up in. Nowadays, it's okay. We have to be salt and light, so just let's go anywhere we like and do anything we like and say anything we like. And I think this world gets criticized. We use the term legalism. And we say, well, it's not all about rules and regulations and blah, blah, blah. And it's not. It's about a relationship with God. But when we have a relationship with a God who is holy, then it should be reflected in our behaviors, where what we say matters, where the language that we use matters. The thoughts that we think matter. The things that we do matter. How we use our finances matters. How we use our time matters. Everything matters. Because if we really believe in a God who says who we say he is, then it should be reflected in our behaviors. Just chatting with Robert a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about what the church was like, this church was like, back in the days when it started. And sometimes it was about, well, if you're a Christian now, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do the next thing. Do you know, actually that's right. Because if you're a believer, there are certain things you shouldn't be doing. There are certain things you shouldn't be saying. And there are certain places where if you go there, it's maybe not going to be the most helpful environment for you to be in. Because in that environment, you may face temptation that you would never have faced if you never went into that place. So what we do and what we say, really, we begin to find that it matters. But let's not forget about the mercy of God, the grace of God. And we too need to be people who show the mercy of God, the grace of God. What an amazing, that's what's amazing about this extraordinary plan, is that it involves us, that God gives us his grace. And I don't know about you, I've been thinking about this lately, and I'm almost finished as I share this last thought. I've been thinking about the things that get put into my life in the very foundations when I was just a wee guy, right? I know I'm still a wee guy, but when I was a wee guy, okay? Thinking about the things that were in the foundations of my life, things that maybe weren't godly, things that maybe weren't right, ways of thinking, ways of doing, ways of reacting, all this kind of stuff, and you think, man, I wish I could deal with the foundations of my life, but how do you deal with the foundations without pulling the whole building down, right? If you get underneath this building, you'll find that there are things in the foundations of this building which shouldn't be there, okay? Underneath this floor, Brian, you've been underneath the floor here, you know that underneath this floor there are things which the builders left which they should never have left. And I'm like, let's get them out, let's clean out the foundations. But you can't change the foundations of the building once it's up. And I'm thinking, I'm praying, Lord, how do I change the foundations of my life? How do I change the things that I know create a response, a reaction in a certain situation, and I don't like that reaction, but it's part of the stuff that's in it, the foundations of my life. I don't like it, I want to change it. How do I change it? And as I'm praying about that, this is what I felt God say to me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A new creation. He deals with the foundations. He can deal with the stuff in our past. He can deal with the things that are in the foundations. And I just felt to say today, whatever is wrong in the foundation of your life, God can heal it. He can restore. He can make things new. He can make you an entirely new person. And what happened to you as a child can be healed. And you could be made whole again. What was stolen from you as a child can be restored. What was broken in you as a child can be remade. And when the words and the deeds of other people sought to kill the life inside of you, God can make you new and God can bring fresh life in you if you will trust him today. Just going to invite the musicians up. We're going to finish today with a song. But I just want to challenge us today to think about this, to think about the fact that we can be changed, we can be transformed, we can become a new person, we can reflect the image of God. And it can be a pure reflection. And like it or not, the world is watching, but heaven is watching too. Heaven's watching. Remember that wee moment I talked about when the angels are looking at us and they go, what? It's like, what? It's our turn. This is our turn. This is our turn to make a difference in God's kingdom, to make a difference in the planet that he's placed us on, in our time. I want us to think about that and be challenged about that. And over the next few weeks, let's think about what we believe. Let's think about how that impacts how we behave as well. Father, we just pray today. We pray, Father, that you would just come and take your word and reveal it to us, make life happen within us. Father, we pray that you bring healing to the broken. Father, that you bring restoration to those who have things stolen from them. Father, that you bring life in all its fullness. Lord, we know that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. We see that in the book of Job. When the devil accused Job before God. And there are some people in here today and you hear an accusing voice in your mind. You hear an accusation coming. How can you say that? How can you go to church? How can you be? How can you? Well, I want to suggest today, maybe it's the voice of the enemy whispering in your mind and you need to deal with that voice. You need to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You need to pray and you need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And don't allow the accusing voice to stop you from being all that he has created you to be today. Maybe there are people in here today and you've never even made a decision to become a Christian. And I just feel to give you the opportunity to do that today, to pray a wee prayer. The God that we're talking about today loves you. The God that we're talking about today has a plan for your life, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to bring restoration, plans to make you a new creation. And if you've never made that decision to allow Jesus into your life today, then I'm going to say a wee prayer. And just you pray this prayer after me, quietly into your heart. And if you pray that prayer, come in and just have a chat at the end. It's really simple. It goes like this. Dear God, I thank you for making me. I thank you that I'm here. I thank you for life. And I pray today that you will come into my heart, that you will live in me and make me a new creation. Heal me. Forgive me. And may I experience your love. In Jesus' name. And Father, we just pray for everyone who prayed that prayer. Lord, we ask that something of your divine nature, your divine presence would fill that heart, every heart today. Father, come by your Spirit and fill every heart. Fill every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us. Help us to get to know you better. Help us to understand you more. And Father, we pray, help us to reflect what we know to be true in the things that we say and in the things that we do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.